At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, hey, hey! Hey, gang! Kevin Goatee, you know what time it is. You know what the fuck is up. Gutting the Sacred Cow, it's time for a new episode. This week, we're doing Logan with our new buddy, Jimmy Starr. Before we get to it, first of all, thank you all again. You're awesome for being a fans of our show, shouting us out on social media. Keep doing that. We appreciate it. We retweet it, that's for sure. And again, 5-star ratings, you know the deal. We need those to help boost us up in the algorithm. But again, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for being fans of the show and friends of ours. GuttingTheSacredCow.com every day for blog articles. You know the drill. Without any delay, here's Jimmy Starr doing Logan.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. Some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now.
Yeah, that doesn't
matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
Hi, Buck Melanoma, Molly Russell's wart. Kevin Israel, name that film.
No idea.
Uncle Buck!
You know, I've never seen it.
What?
Yeah, I've never seen Uncle Buck.
You son
not
of a bitch.
Big John Candy fan.
You're not a big John Candy fan?
Yeah, neither am I. I don't have anything against him. I just never got into all. I haven't seen most of his movies.
I mean, he's a national treasure, even though he's a fucking Canadian. But goddamn,
I'm not bad mouthing him. I don't know. I just never saw any of his movies.
Gutting the Sacred Cow.
I'm the same.
I'm floored. Two people in one room. This is going to go on my vision board. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, back with Gutting the Sacred Cow. This week we've got Jimmy Starr on. Jimmy, how are you, buddy? What's going on?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Magical.
Thanks for coming aboard, Jimmy.
Yes, thank you. Jimmy, tell the fine folks where we can find you and what you're up to.
What's up? I'm Jimmy Starr. The easiest way to find me, everything is at jimmystarrsworld.com. So you can go to jimmystarrsworld.com. I'm at Dr. Jimmy Starr on Twitter and at Dr. Jimmy Starr on Instagram and Jimmy Starr on Facebook. But links to everything is on jimmystarrsworld.com, which I'm also a blogger, entertainment blogger, and I'm number 46 of the top 100 entertainment sites in the world.
Oof. That's a hell of a resume right there.
Humble brag right there.
I'm ahead of InTouch magazine, and InTouch magazine is like a big magazine, and they're like ranked after me. So, but I'm behind Perez Hilton, and I'm behind people in all those big ones. So that's what I'm gunning for.
Yeah, we're number 35, so eat shit, Jimmy.
Good
Jimmy.
For you.
Yeah, I wish. Are we on any list? I think we cracked iTunes top 15 as number 15.
We were like top 10 in Pakistan.
Spain, we're constantly in the top 25. Our Spanish friends, say amo if you hablo español like I do.
So how do you get those numbers from Chartable? Or where
yes,
do you
we
get
do.
Those numbers?
Yep.
Okay.
Chartable. That's right. We can talk shop about demographics and all the happy horse shit. Jimmy's come on, though, because he has taken umbrage with Kevin Israel's all-time favorite comic book hero, Wolverine, in the 2017 film Logan. A budget of $127 million, a gross of $619 million. Turn that into 2021 dollars, a slight adjustment. $138.3 million, gross $674.3 million. IMDb, as we know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. Jimmy, how about you venture a guess and tell me what Logan scored on IMDb?
Let's see.
1 through 10 without decimal points. No cheating.
I think it probably scored pretty good, probably a 7.
7. Kevin Israel.
I think it's higher than that. I'm going to say an 8.6.
8.1. Rotten Tomatoes is a 1 through 100 score. Kevin Israel, Rotten Tomatoes, critics, hit me with your best shot.
I feel like critics really like this movie. 91.
Jimmy Starr?
Nah. 76.
93.
Ah. Oh, shit.
Critics love this film. Now, Jimmy Starr, the question is for you. The audience Rotten Tomatoes score.
Well, I think people are sheep, and so if somebody else like that says it's good, they're all going to like follow, so it's probably really high. Like, well, how do you score it? Like, what am I?
It's 1 through 100.
1 through 100, so they're probably like, they're probably at a 90% also then.
Kevin Israel?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to go 88.
Well, Jimmy Starr is now the proud owner of two showcases, 90 on the dot.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Beating you at your own game, Kevin Israel. Quotes.
I never look at any of that stuff.
You're not supposed to. That's the whole part of the game.
I mean, even if I wasn't on the show, I wouldn't look at that anyway, because I always like go by movies, whether I like them or not. Half the time, the movies everybody else loves, I don't like, and the ones that everybody else hates, I like. Like, I was a fan of Glitter.
Mariah Carey, the film that came out on 9/11.
Yeah,
isn't that like world renowned as the worst movie ever made?
Yeah, I think it was one of the worst movies ever made, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. So
next in Jimmy Starr's videography, When Justin Met Kelly.
Actually, I like that one too.
Because
I was an American Idol fan. It was terrible.
I think we're getting a good beat on you, Jimmy. Yeah.
I like all the dumb cheesy movies, though. I think they're fun.
Quotes, nature made me a freak, man made me a weapon, and God made me last too long. Kevin Israel, any quotes jump out at you?
There was just one quote that jumped out at me, and it was, go play Okey Dickhead somewhere else. I like that. That's a line I can see myself using at some point.
Jimmy, any quotes from this film jump out at you? Too.
No, I don't even fucking remember any of them. I actually just watched this film like 2 weeks ago too, just to make sure I remembered it. But no, I don't have any like big quotes.
That's okay, because now it's time for five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts for you right now. It's time for five fun more facts. Five fun facts for you right now.
I want to
make you guess this, but it's too obtuse. Jerry Seinfeld convinced Hugh Jackman to give up being Wolverine because audiences could possibly begin to get sick of him quickly. Also, increasing age and brushes with skin cancer were other reasons that Jackman, decided to hang it up. Talk about committing to the bit. Hugh Jackman dehydrated himself 48 hours before every shirtless scene in this film.
He did look like shit in this movie. You know, most of the movies he got, you know, jacked and shredded. And this one, his body, he really looked like he was an old man.
Well, he really couldn't looking like Christian Bale in The Machinist now, could he?
No, well, I mean,
no, that was like he really was extreme.
He looks like he was an old man who was once in shape.
Right. Number three, Liev Schreiber was offered the chance to reprise Sabretooth, but instead was filming Ray Donovan at the time. I know.
What a terrible pick. Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth? No way.
He wasn't. He was in the first Wolverine film, Jimmy Starr. You should know that.
What was he in the first one? But he wasn't like a super. He wasn't a hero.
He was Sabretooth.
He was Sabretooth.
Yeah, was he really?
Yeah. He was actually, you know what? And
the best part of that dog shit film.
Yeah, as a comic book guy, I thought he was going to be terrible, but he did a great. He was much better than the Sabretooth in the original X-Men, who actually looked like Sabretooth but couldn't act for shit.
That was Steve Basic, right? Was that Steve Basic?
No, he was a wrestler. He's like an Australian wrestler or something like that.
His first name started with a T. Now, how useless is that information? Pretty fucking useless. But I'm sorry,
Taylor, something.
We'll have to Google that when I'm done looking. Number four, Hugh Jackman said the only way he will ever reprise Wolverine is if there is a crossover between Wolverine and
Deadpool.
Yes, Kevin Israel.
Oh, that's cool.
I knew you'd get that one. Want to take a guess on which actor Hugh Jackman learned his American accent from?
No idea.
Going to make you laugh. All right. Johnny Depp. See, I told you it'd make you laugh. No word, though, if Hugh's wife also copied Amber Heard's bed shitting elements as well.
Tyler Mayne, by the way.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is no way that's his real name.
Is that anywhere close to Taylor Dane, the singer?
She had a better career than Tyler Mayne did.
He sure did.
So Steve Basic was the Beast in X-Men 2, and Tyler Mayne actually is a friend of mine.
Is he really?
Wait, yeah. X-Men, he was in X-Men 2? Did I miss that? I mean, we watched that because we're taping X-Men 2 next week.
Well, Kelsey Grammer ended up playing X-3. The Beast later on.
Yeah, Basic was the first one, and he's not in it a whole lot.
He's a
friend of mine, too, though.
There was a scene where they're on TV, Hank... I can't remember what the Beast's last name is. That's Hank
McCoy.
Something.
Hank McCoy.
Hank McCoy.
Yeah,
thank you.
Hank McCoy.
He's on the TV talking as Dr. Hank McCoy, and it's just a guy. That might have been him. But he was in it for like a split second, and then they recast it as Kelsey Grammer.
Right.
And then Brett Ratner proceeded to take a big steaming dump on the franchise. But now we can talk about recasting and who could have, should have, would have. We can also marvel at Jimmy Starr's wardrobe and his action figures he has in the background, but we're not going to because we've come here to have Jimmy Starr come on in. That is, and Kevin Israel just popped a mega boner right now.
Yeah, look at that. That's
Jesus
fantastic.
Christ. John Wayne Gacy's wasn't as creepy. And a Pac-Man machine. Excellent. Love it. We have now come, Kevin Israel, to allow Jimmy Starr in our show to
gut the sacred cow.
So first of all, I have to say that X-Men, out of all the franchises, is my favorite one. Like, I love the X-Men. I actually like the older ones that were cheesier better than I like the new ones with the young cast. I like the old cast when it started out with Halle Berry and everybody. I like those better, even though they're cheesy and they're not as entertaining, probably for a lot of people. But I like those ones better. That I like the new ones where everybody's young. And I thought the first Wolverine movie was like awesome, where you got to learn how everything like happened and everything. But
I knew that would take the breath out of Kevin Israel.
But I thought the second
what world are we living in?
I know.
Well, who the hell though? First of all, like, I got a thing for Patrick Stewart. So, like, I couldn't stand the fact that, like, Patrick Stewart's, like, old and almost, like, ready to die. Wolverine looks like he's, like, sick and going to die any minute. And he's, like, totally, like, a pussy in it, practically. He can barely, like, stand up half the time. So I thought that part was terrible. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the story. Is the whole problem is I didn't like the story for it. I thought, like, the little kid, Daphne Keene, was fabulous. She was really the only saving grace in the whole movie. If it wasn't for her, like, I would have fucking been super pissed off because I would have hated the whole thing. Hang on. God dang it. My thing just opened up. But I didn't like the story. I didn't like the fact that they go help the people with the horses, and then they go stay at the people's house with the horses, and then all those people brutally get murdered. I mean, like, how, like, terrible was that? I thought that shit was terrible. I thought the idea – I didn't think the idea of, like, having, like, the second Wolverine was all that bad. That part was kind of, like, good. And I liked the guy with the arm, with the arm. That was his only real power. But really, the only part of the movie for me that was enjoyable was the beginning part when she jumps out and starts killing everybody, and you find out she's like a mini Wolverine person. And the end of it, when they had all the kids trying to do shit, even though some of them didn't have very good powers, they were like young. And I thought that part was super entertaining, but all the rest of it, like the guy who couldn't go in the sun and he couldn't like help, and he was like, betrayed him because he was basically like worthless. And the fact that Patrick Stewart, and then the fact that Wolverine was a drunk, I thought that was a fucking terrible like thing, because he's like an icon. It's like when you watch Batman versus Superman. You got to remember, I'm old. You guys are young. Like, I'm from like the original. Like, I had all the X-Men comic books like when I was a kid and stuff. So like, I really like the old stuff, and I like the stuff. Like, I don't like it when the superheroes turn bad. I don't like it when the superheroes are drunks. I don't like it when the superheroes, who aren't really supposed to age, get old. So basically, like, if it wasn't for like that little girl who kicked the shit out of everybody, she was almost more badass than Wolverine was. The whole movie would have like sucked, because the little girl was badass and I like loved her. But I thought the whole little story about how they're trying to get the kids out and all that stuff was all just shitty. I don't read the comic books currently, like current comic books. So if it's based off of something that's current now, like, I don't like any of that shit, because I like it from like when I was a kid. I like all the TV shows and stuff and superhero stuff. I like everything from when I was a kid. But Wolverine shouldn't be a drunk. Patrick Stewart shouldn't have been like all fucking nutsy. First of all, I think Patrick Stewart, I have a thing for like older dudes, and to me, he's like smoking hot. And so like if I could like, you know, like date Patrick Stewart if I was single, like he would be like the ultimate. And
where do you stand on Stanley Tucci?
Nah, I don't like
Stanley Tucci. You take Patrick Stewart over Stanley Tucci?
Oh, in a fucking heartbeat. Wow.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, is that because of the Stanley roles Tucci. He's played, though? Is it because of the roles?
No, Patrick it's because I like older gray hair, bald and gray hair type things. I just like. And Stanley Tucci's a little bit too faggy. You know, I'm like a real. You know, like I'm gay, so I can say that.
Can we say that? Ruling? Yes, he can say that.
All right. Because I'm gay, first of all, so I'm gay and I can say it. And like, I'm like, believe, like, if you like men, then you want to like, if you have an interest and you think like Patrick Stewart's like manly, Stanley Tucci's faggy. Like, why would you want to, if you were going to do that, just go with a girl or something. I don't know. It's just like lesbians. Like, why does a lesbian want to be with a girl who looks like a truck driver? If you're a lesbian and you like girls, you'd want to be with like a beautiful girl, not like some girl who looks like a dude. Just doesn't make any sense to me.
This is a fascinating discussion that we could probably do an entire podcast episode on.
I want to say preach on, brother, but sure.
Yeah. So I think that Wolverine shouldn't be gotten all old and be a drunk. I just didn't like that whole storyline of any of that stuff. And I guess if you're going to retire him, that's a good way to do it, because you make everybody like basically not like him and then you kill him at the end. But he's not supposed to really be able to die, you know, when you're like, watching when you're seeing all the things when you're like younger, and so I just didn't like that whole part, any of it. And I watched it like four times, but I only watched it mostly because the little girl is so cool, and I would like to put her in something. I would like to cast her in something that I'm
bonus five fun fact. You know they considered Millie Bobby Brown to be the role of X-23.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Because she would have been really young then.
Yeah, the girl from Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, I know who she is.
They consider her to be the role. X-23, the girl who kicked ass. That's Wolverine's, the little girl.
Okay.
Laura.
Clone.
Yeah.
She probably could have done it, though. She's a good actress.
I could totally see it.
She's a good actress, so I give her that.
Or her or Arya Stark, whatever that girl's name is.
Or Sandra Bernhardt could have been a great X-23.
That would have been a different way to go. It would have been a very different movie.
It would have been terrible.
Yeah,
it would've. I mean, so Kevin, you liked the movie. Why did you like the movie?
Hold on, Jimmy. You were trying to get
Jimmy taking the reins.
No, not on my fucking podcast, Jimmy. You're your fucking lane. I'll direct traffic from here. Jimmy, are you finished with all your bullet points?
I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, the fact that they killed the family with the horse and stuff, I just thought that was just terrible. I hated
someone's
that
a big
thing.
Someone's a big Eric LaSalle fan.
Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, hold on. So, okay, you're done. That's good. Now, give me a number that you would give Logan, 1 through 10.
5.
Wow. Well, I'd be a fucking complete douche nozzle to go first on this one. So, Kevin Israel, go have at it. Hey gang, we here on the show often use the expression, that doesn't happen. You know how we can say that with such confidence? Because we have an actual fucking scientist sponsoring this show. That's right, Mr. A.M. Compson is our new sponsor, and he's helping spread scientific knowledge with his new lecture series. Are you a nerd who thinks school is too tough? Go to AM Compson to find books on a wide range of science and mathematics topics. That's university-level teaching at a fraction of the cost. Are you a tough guy who thinks school's for nerds? Then go to AM Compson and pick up the night school version of these books, which has the same exact information condensed with punchlines and swearing. New material every few weeks. It's like OnlyFans, but their fathers are actually proud of them. So go to amcompson.com today to start learning science. That's amcompson.com.
Thank you, sir. So I obviously am a huge Wolverine fan. I started reading when Wolverine's got his first independent comic back in 1988. I had the first Wolverine toy back in 1983, 1984, before I even really knew who Wolverine was. So I've been very invested in Wolverine's appearances throughout the movies, and I think he's been in 8 different X-Men movies, and I've more often than not been disappointed by how Wolverine was portrayed and by the kind of just the short shrift he ended up getting. While he ended up being the central figure of the X-Men movies. I mean, when you talk about X-Men, it's Wolverine and then these other guys. But I don't think they ever did his character justice in almost any of the movies. There were moments in each of the movies where Wolverine was Wolverine, and I can point them out. In the original X-Men movie, in the cage fight in the beginning, that was a real Wolverine.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yep. In X2, when the mansion gets invaded, he just kills everybody. That was a real Wolverine moment. In Wolverine Origins, which was a dog shit movie, the opening historical montage where you see him and Victor Creed battling through with Sabretooth, battling through all the different wars, that was really, really a Wolverine moment. In the Wolverine, where he goes and he kills the hunters because they used poison darts or arrows on the bear in the bar, that was a very Wolverine moment. In First Class, when Professor X and Magneto go to ask him to be in the and his only part, he just goes fuck off, and then they just walk out. That was a super Wolverine moment. And then actually, Days of Future Past is one of the movies that got Wolverine the most Wolverine-ish. In I mean, he was really kind of the cynical, dark, wisecracking. So yeah, those. I mean, those for me, those were times where they really got Wolverine right, and then just. So many other times in movies, they just never quite got him right. So when they announced this movie, Logan, which was supposed to be loosely based off of the graphic novel Old Man Wolverine, Old Man Logan, Old Man Logan is one of the best graphic novels. It's an amazing story. It's dark. It's depressing. It's gritty. It's everything Jimmy would have hated.
It's
even more depressing than this actual movie but the problem was that at the time, Fox didn't have the rights to all of the characters in the Old Man Logan graphic novel. A lot of them were Avengers and other superheroes. The other main character in Old Man Logan is Hawkeye, strangely enough, who's blind.
Really?
Yeah, it's him and Hawkeye traveling across the country trying to. The story, real quickly, the story of Old Man Logan, the bad guys won. All the superheroes were killed. And the country gets divided between different head bosses. Bad head bosses of, you know, mutants and superheroes, and everybody basically lives under like the iron thumb of all these supervillains, and all superheroes are all dead. Wolverine survived and basically swore off violence, and Hawkeye comes and gets Wolverine to go on one final mission, and they go, and the Incredible Hulk is bad, and he's taken over California and most of the West Coast. That's his like territory, and they have to go. And I can't remember the exact reason they were going there, but they end up having to go to fight the Incredible Hulk. And it has a great final scene with the Wolverine fighting the Incredible Hulk. And so that when they said that was what it was going to be based off, I was like, holy shit! Like that's a no joke comic book. Like that graphic novel pulls in no punches. So I was really excited. So when this movie came out, I mean, there was nothing. There were almost no similarities other than he's old and not very healthy. He's in the graphic novel, he wasn't quite as dying as he is in this. So it's a very different, very, very, very different movie from anything we've seen. When you consider what he was like and what the whole feel of the movie was like in the first X-Men movie, then to this, it's almost like they exist in two completely different timelines. They have two different, totally different feels. The first X-Men was very campy. I don't want to say bright, but it was very, more cartoonish. This was a dark, gritty. This almost felt like a Clint Eastwood movie. Like this is a really, really heavy movie. I mean, they kill an entire family, like Jimmy said. It's such a dark, hard movie. This isn't a fun movie. Like I just watched Avengers Endgame last night for the 30th time, just because it's a fun movie to watch. It's an easy, fun movie to watch, and it's got some awesome moments in it. This movie. It's not fun to watch. It has almost no awesome moments. And even the awesome moments feel like shit because it doesn't really work out. Like even when Wolverine's kicking ass, he's sort of doing so not well. And the scene in the beginning where he fights the guys who are trying to steal the wheels off his car, you just feel that he's in pain and he gets the shit beat out of him. But then the thing I really liked about that scene is he goes into his berserker rage, which is something that's always talked about in the comic books. Jay and Silent Bob often talk about it.
Yep.
And he just goes nuts and he kills all of them. And you didn't get to really see that too many times through the other movies. And it was because a lot of those movies were PG or PG-13. And this movie just took it all and was like, listen, we have a main character whose power is knives in his hands. How do you tone that down? The only way he can fight is by killing people in a bloody manner. And this movie really, really went for that. They also said fuck a lot in this movie, which I thought was really funny because it's almost like we made 8 movies where we couldn't say fuck. So we're getting them all in now. We're going to say fuck as many times. Professor X is going to say, I'm surprised the little girl didn't say fuck. I think in that like Spanish tirade, she probably said fuck a few times. Like it was like they were trying to make right all the wrongs done in all the other movies. So for me, this movie's hard because I think it's a good movie. I think it's a very good, very well done movie. It's hard to watch. It's an emotional movie when you consider the journey these characters have come on. But there's a lot of parts that they didn't. I wanted more. I wanted to know more about this program where they were making these kids, and you didn't get a lot of that. And what I really wanted more was what Professor X did to kill off all the X-Men. They talk about it a couple of times. They allude to it, and I know you don't always have to spoon feed the audience, but that seems like such an important occurrence in all of this that led to where we were today. A little something more would have been helpful, just because where were all the other X-Men? Like they were all dead. Like everybody was dead. So I feel like it fell short in a few smaller areas. I didn't like the clone Wolverine. I thought there was so many other cool characters they could have brought in Sabretooth. They could have brought in so many other awesome supervillains, and they just went with a clone Wolverine, which felt like a cheap, like they just kind of wimped out and were just like, well, we'll just do him again. And Caliban, I thought he was a very, very tertiary character in the X-Men. And I feel like there was a better character that they could have had for him taking care of Professor X and being involved with Wolverine, somebody you felt a little more tied to. Because when the Caliban dies, or even when they like torture him, you're kind of like, I didn't even know who this guy is. Like,
you didn't
Right. Like, I cared about Professor X. I cared about Wolverine. I cared about seeing them, you know, in their later years as they're, you know, suffering. But Caliban, I just didn't give a shit about. I didn't know anything about him. In fact, they did such a bad job with him. They had to be, at some one point, they had to be like, you can track mutants. And he was like, yeah, or something. They had to tell you what his power was, because it wasn't, other than being albino, you really had no idea until the leader from the Reavers explained that. And that segues me into the Reavers. The Reavers were awesome in the comic books. They're this band of like the Dreadnoughts, which Kevin will remember what the Dreadnoughts were. Like these badass mercenary, but cyborgs. Like they were all cyborg mutants. And there was one guy who was only, it's like something out of Mad Max. He was only from torso up, and his entire bottom half was a tank, where like tank treads. And he had like machine guns strapped to him. And like all of them were just these twisted cyborgs that Magneto would use to like do his wet work, and they were all just fuck. Lady Deathstrike, who was in X2, was a Reaver, and which is, she had the metal hands, and so they just turned them into basically like government. Like there was nothing interesting about them. At one point, they just said, the doctor goes, oh yeah, the Reavers are animals or whatever. And that's how you know that they were the Reavers. The guy had the metal hand, which they really kind of watered down a lot of interesting characters to make this movie. But I also feel like it's because they really wanted a number one cover Professor X's journey and where he was now. And then Wolverine really the lion's share of this is kind of his comeuppance. Like he's this is his last run. And it's a really hard movie to watch, but there was like some cool symbolism in the movie when they were watching Shane. They're in the casino hotel watching Shane. Like clearly you see her like really interested in watching this. Shane is Wolverine. Like, so that I thought the whole thing with Shane was sort of nice, but it also felt like a really heavy handed, like we need to like get it. And it was like, yes, we get what you're doing with the whole Shane thing. So for me in the end, this was a great movie. It really accomplished its goal. But at the same time, as for Wolverine, because I never felt like Wolverine got his due in any of these movies other than these little glimmers, it was hard to watch because I wanted to see like a cool, fun Wolverine that you could really get behind. And you never really got that. And so now it was just like, oh, we're going to do him right, but we're going to do him right at the end of his life when it's not really enjoyable to watch. And it's going to be a hard movie to watch. And I like the journey. I like the stages. I like the Wolverine and X-23 had a great rapport. I thought they had great chemistry. Wolverine and Professor X were awesome together. I mean, I love Patrick Stewart. I mean, I thought he's like made to be Professor X.
Right. Yes.
And he did a great job being Professor X at the end, dealing with this horrible thing that he did. And that moment where he gets killed in the bed and he goes, today was the best day that I can remember in a long, like that was such a tough scene. And then from there, the whole movie just picks up speed and spirals pretty much downhill to the end battle. So I'm really torn about this movie because I know it's a good movie and I know it was really done well and it was probably the best sample of Wolverine you got. But for me, I wanted a better Wolverine before this, and they finally gave us kind of how Wolverine's supposed to be at the end. So it's hard for me, and I really hope that now that MCU has the rights to Wolverine, they do him right. And actually, Hugh Jackman did say recently that he would consider coming back for an MCU movie if it's done right, but he said he would want to do it if it would have to be in a Deadpool movie. So we'll see. I don't know.
I would love that.
It would be awesome, and it would definitely be fun, and you'd get a cool Wolverine. I mean, I don't know how they would do it, because unless they just said that's an alternate timeline and that, you know, that's not in the canon of the MCU. I don't know what they'll do. I don't think they really give a shit. It's going to make a ton of money.
Back in my part too, though, I couldn't stand the fact that Patrick Stewart didn't have control of his telepathic, you know, abilities. Like, I thought that shit was like terrible. You know, yeah. they didn't give him his drugs. I hated all of them being like old and pathetic.
Yeah. But that was the movie. That was the whole, you know, him struggle, you know, a hero at the end of his road. And it was tough to watch. And it's, you know, watching him heal slower and the claw, the scene where he has to pull the claw out because it doesn't come out all the way.
Terrible.
That was, but they did it. It was, and I think the fact that you didn't like it, Jimmy, shows that the movie accomplished what they wanted to. They didn't want you to.
It was shot beautifully. I mean, everything was done like beautifully. I just didn't like, because I didn't like the storyline, I didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as like the cinematography and what they actually did, it was done very well. I just didn't like, you know, what they did.
I will say this because I'm a big cheese ball. I was sure when I saw it in the theater, I was sure at the very end when they focused in on his tomb, his grave,
and he was gonna like stick his hand out or something.
I didn't think it was gonna be that much, but I thought like it was almost gonna be like in Batman v Superman when they showed the dirt on the coffin shake a little bit.
Yeah.
So you knew he was. So I thought something was gonna like the dirt would move or something was gonna.
You'd hear a very subtle snick.
Yeah, or that would have been awesome. But they were trying to give him his end, and it was a super heroic ending. It just, for me, I wanted more Wolverine before this. So my problem with the movie isn't as much this movie as it was how Wolverine was handled before. And Hugh Jackman did a great job as Wolverine in almost every movie. He did the most he could with all the screenplays he was given. But a lot of them just fell really, really short. So yeah, it's not a movie. And you know what? I don't think I've ever watched this. I just watched the other day. I just rewatched this for the podcast. And I don't think I've ever watched the whole movie through again since I saw it in the theater. And it's probably not a movie. No, it's not a rewatchable, super rewatchable movie. There's a couple scenes in it, but it's a heavy, dark movie that's got a lot of emotion in it that are emotions that I don't want to deal with. So
is this because you're so sad that this is the end of your favorite iconic comic book character?
Yeah, I mean a little bit. It's sad that way, but I also know it's not the end. I mean, now that MCU has it, he's like a lottery ticket just hanging on MCU's wall waiting to be cashed. They're just waiting for the right time to go in and say, "Yeah, we have you owe us $500 million." But yeah. there's going to be another Wolverine, whether it's Hugh Jackman or not. I know MCU will do right by him. But this was, you know, we saw these movies. What, the first X-Men was 2003, I think. So we watched for
it was 2000.
Was it 2000? Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
So we watched this evolution of this character for almost 20 years. And so seeing the end, they really tried to shoehorn it. He was even in X-Men, not the Phoenix, the other one.
Apocalypse.
Yeah. He was even in Apocalypse, where they just worked him in, and it was at the Weapon X lodge, and they just show him rampaging through right after he got his adamantium. It was hard, but it is. I have to give it credit. It is a great movie, and it was done very, very well. For me, this movie is an 8.
These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where you go on it every day and you find fantastic articles. You find our That Doesn't Happen list. You find our sequels that we want to see or never asked for. And, of course, T-shirts, mugs, bags, cell phone holders, dildos. Just kidding. Don't get all excited, Jimmy. But everything else out there we have on guttingthesacredcow.com. And don't forget, for the love of Christ, we need a little help. On our Instagram numbers are atrocious. Follow us at Gutting the Sacred Cow on Instagram, GTSC Podcast on Twitter. And lastly, you guys in the last few days have written a ton of 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence reviews. We cannot thank you enough. Thank you. If you have not yet done so, we appreciate you doing that. Notes.
I just followed.
I like Jimmy Starr, goddammit.
On Instagram.
See? We get you on Twitter.
I don't have great Instagram numbers either, but they're better than yours.
You give me a tweet. Well, shit. When you have – ready for this, Kevin Israel? I was looking at his profile as you were talking. You know who follows this motherfucker? Barack Obama.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to pause for effect. Christy Swanson, who made my teenage years a good batch.
Oh, she's been on my show.
Yeah. I'd like to be in her bed. And – Tom Green, what an eclectic match of people that follow Jimmy.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise follows you.
Britney Spears.
Tom, get off your
Justin
ass.
Justin Bieber.
Well, you had us until then. Wow,
the Biebs.
Tom Cruise is a goddamn American icon and is the best actor of the last 30 years, and I'll fight anybody who says otherwise. Notes, the worst part about being shot by a Mexican gang is hearing the shittiest of music as you're dying. That was torture, listening to that horrible music. I have been drunk in limos several times, even hanging out of the moonroof drunk, but it never occurred to me to ever yell out, drunk out of a moonroof, USA, USA. Thank you.
I was wondering why that was happening.
I don't know. I've yelled out, the minibar needs refilling, or I'm temporarily better than all of you.
What about pull over real quick?
I'm a professional, okay? I can piss in bottles and moving cars. I don't need to pull over. Patrick Stewart's shriveled face. By the way, he lost 20 pounds for this role. Patrick Stewart's shriveled face probably looks like Dame Judi Dench's puss.
I love Dame Judi Dench, by the way.
Again, it's all adding up. The story is just compiling itself there. Jimmy, we are having just auto-filling quite nicely.
Very, very awesome on brand.
On brand, yes. Hearing Patrick Stewart say the word fuck warms me all over. I loved it. I loved every time he said that. By the way, speaking of the British, I'm sure it was not hard for the casting agency to find a British albino to play Caliban. British people.
He wasn't even albino. He was just British.
Yeah. They're usually quite sickly and mainly having a vitamin D deficiency. Let me get this straight. $50,000 to drive up to North Dakota for more than one day? Sign me up. But staying more than 2 days in North Dakota, I would rather shave my taint with Artie Lang's heroin needles. Bad guy rocking out gold teeth. I never got that look. Now, women who wear gold teeth, that gets me harder than an elephant tusk. Just kidding. That looks fucking terrible.
On brand.
That looks
on
fucking
brand.
Terrible.
That's on brand for you.
That is disgusting. Okay. Women wear gold teeth. No thanks. You know what else? I'll never get throat tattoos. I'll never get women who get throat tattoos. But if you ever see a throat tattoo on a woman, rest assured that they're down for butt sex, because a needle on the throat, it has to be way more painful than a dick in the butt, in my guess. The bloodiness. Sorry, Jimmy, go ahead. You're about to say something.
I was going
to
say, especially if they have like a tattoo of a dick on their neck.
Right?
Which
I've seen
here.
Wait, you've seen a woman with a dick neck tattoo?
Yeah, I have.
It'd be even better if she had a tracheotomy and it was going pointing to her trachole. Trachole. Great name for a punk band name, right?
That's going to be the name of my next comedy album.
Yeah. The bloodiness in this film really showed us what we've been missing with every X-Men/Wolverine film, period. Caliban looks like a hybrid between Death from Bill and Ted 2 and Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi.
He also looked like the guy. Do you ever see that zombie movie that had the Hare Krishna zombie? Anyway, I forgot which one of those Dawn of the Dead movies. Like there was like one of the guys who turned running from the zombies, and he's like this Hare Krishna bald guy. His name's Mike something. He follows me on social media.
Was he doing the finger symbols as he chased him down?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, sort of like
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
You know, you don't see them at the airport anymore. That's something that like when you see airplane again, like, oh wait, they used to have them in the airports like in the 70s and 80s, but yeah. I haven't seen the only place you see Hare Krishnas in Penn State. Sorry, well, yeah, in Penn Station, but also when you're going to the subway right there on 8th Avenue. On the ground, if you're going to the Uptown C or E, right there in the corner, all the Hare Krishnas hang out. Fun fact. So when you come to the city this week, Jimmy, there's your first star on your tour of fame.
My first star. Yeah.
Wolverine putting his claws through all those dudes in slow motion is fucking fantastic. When Xavier's having his meltdown, that was badass.
Yeah.
The Eric LaSalle family drags – sorry. The Eric LaSalle family scene drags – a bit just to show that he was cloned. Why is X-23 flipping between English and Spanish when she knows Wolverine just speaks English? Is that her way of just fucking with him?
Then I thought, you know, it's funny. I thought it was weird when he realizes she can talk, he gets annoyed.
Right.
And then she speaks in English and he doesn't say anything. I would have been like, you can speak English too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm afraid of two things, guys. Sharks and failure. Now we can add a third thing to this list. Kids strapping me to a gurney and then cranking me up 100 feet in the fucking air. That was mortifying. The last thing I would do is trust kids that crank me up a fucking ridge safely. No, thank you. The third act does drag for a bit. I will say that. But the final battle is worth the price of admission alone.
That was the only good part.
Fantastic conclusion to the Wolverine. I have not the nerd that you two are, it sounds like. I say this is one of the best superhero films of all time, and it's in my top five superhero films, kids. Maybe toward the bottom of that list, but definitely top five for me. I don't have many notes. This film fucking kicks ass. Yes, I see why. I see some of your points, Kevin. Again, you've been studying Wolverine, like the JFK assassination, and that's fine. I get all that. I think this film is great. I think it moved a little slowly at times. Overall, I got to do, you know what it was? They got to take the shackles off him and do what he does best, curse and fuck shit up. And that's what you wanted to see for 8 or 9, whatever it was, other films where he's featured. And finally, they take the shackles off him. And of course, in the last one, we couldn't have this for 8 or 9 films. This is bullshit. I think this film is fantastic. I give it a 7.5 out of 10. I love it. It's great. Does it pass the remote test for you? Kevin Israel, I don't think it sounds. I don't know if it does for me. It's kind of like Get Out. You got to be in it from jump to really become fully invested with all the roller coaster of emotions. Like if I catch a certain scene or two, like, all right, cool. Here's a scene where you go fuck some up in the hotel in the white trash casino. That's cool. But then I'll change the channel. Go, all right, cool. If I'm watching it, I'm watching it from top to bottom without interruption.
Because you know what? Most of the fights, most of the action, the stuff that you would normally go, oh my God, you got to watch this. It's him getting his ass kicked. Or him struggling to win. Like every fight, he gets the shit beat out of him a little bit, even the ones he wins. So it's no fun to watch that. Like when you want to watch a fight, you want to see the hero, especially a superhero movie. You want to see the hero kick ass. So there's just not a lot that's like, oh man, wait, before we wait, this is on. We got to watch this one scene. Then we can go out to the bar.
See,
the scene at the beginning. The scene is when the little girl like jumps down and you don't even know, and then she pops up and starts killing everybody. That was like a good fight scene.
See, I'm going to disagree because, listen, we're from both schools, Kevin Israel, I guess, and Jimmy, you too, obviously. We're from the you know, Schwarzenegger doesn't take a fucking barely a scratch nor a stray bullet and just fucks everybody up with zero or minimal damage. Now we're in the age of John Wick. Nobody was another perfect example. And yeah, Logan, because he's old, where people get fucked up during fighting. You just don't walk out scot-free. And that's what this is. So, yeah, I liked how you saw him get fucked up because that's more realistic. So that's my point about that. So 7.5 for me. Kevin, what did you say you gave it? A 7 or an 8?
Eight. Okay, he said eight.
Yeah, we're right on, again, surprise. We're right on point with each other. Let's talk about some critics' five-star reviews.
Five-star reviews. Five-star reviews by critics.
James Mangold keeps the movie as grounded in realism as possible. Unlike other films in the franchises, it doesn't feel overly CGI and effects heavy. Brash and pulpy. I like that word, pulpy. Do you? It's not like Mr. Rogers. I like pulpy. Do you? Desolate but hopeful, violent and touching. Someone is getting that English lit an overtime workout, huh? Logan is a fitting culmination of the Wolverine saga. Logan is the best use of a superhero property in years by doing what so many neglect to do, tell a story and tell it well. If this is the film to be the final appearance of Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart, then they have truly left on a high. Logan is the 10th X-Men movie to answer our question, and it might just be the best. I would buy that. Critics, one-star reviews.
Oh, boy.
Critics, one-star reviews. Critics, one-star reviews.
Jackman portrays Wolverine with a hint of drama that seems trustworthy, but along the way, his latest journey becomes boring, repetitive, with ephemeral, pleasurable moments ending in a cheeky climax trying to be sentimental. Let's call that word salad.
The fact that he used ephemeral, knowing that most people reading it don't know what ephemeral means, really angers me.
Boy, the only thing missing in that sentence was zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist.
I wouldn't know, given it a one. It doesn't deserve a one.
Nope.
No.
Sacrilege. No, sorry. Sacrilege, though. God damn it. We're playing double dutch.
Go.
Sacrilege, though, may it be to fellow comic aficionados, facts are still facts. As a character, Wolverine kind of sucks. Moody and Harry, the murder-happy brute, is all pouting and broody. He's like a stabbier Morrissey.
I love
Morrissey. He must really hate Batman, then, because Batman's just moody and broody.
How does Wolverine as a character suck? He has to be top five of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to argue top three? I'd even let that fucking go. You mean Jesus?
What are your top five? You said Wolverine in like top five movies. So what are your other four?
Top comic book movies? I'm going to go Dark Knight is number one. I have to say Infinity War is right there as well. Logan is in there. And the other two, I got to think, fuck, do I want to throw Endgame in there? I don't know. Blade has to be in there. And I could either throw
Which
that.
Which Blade? Just the beginning.
One.
The other one sucked.
Three was terrible. Two is good. I like one the best. Get one more. I'm writing a blank, and people are going to go, what the fuck? Oh, Winter Soldier. Duh. There's your fifth.
No,
Captain America 2. You're
right. All right, but it was all right.
Those are my five. Two more. Drops the ball with a lackluster third quarter. I like that analogy. That results in the film to a disappointingly underwhelming send-off to Hugh Jackman's portrayal of the iconic character. Another expensive throwaway aimed at milking money out of people who still read comic books. Color it stupid.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
That guy sucks out loud.
Yeah. He wrote that review while closing up all at GameStop. Amazon, five-star reviews.
Five-star reviews. Amazon five-star reviews.
This one, these are a few are lengthy, but boy, are they worth it. I grew up when comic books were 35 to 65 cents a copy, and I never got into the genre very much way back in the 60s and 70s. However, from time to time, I check out some of the different motion picture features of the classics, even though I don't know squat about most of the franchises. Parentheses. I was a fan of the fabulous furry Freak Brothers, Zippy the Pinhead, and other underground comics. I was blown away by a chance viewing of Logan tonight. Even though I don't know Wolverine or the X-Men backstory at all, I thought Logan was gripping, emotional, stimulating, and an incredibly well achievement. Logan changed my mind about comic strip based films. Great work. Gritty and engaging. Who wrote this? The ghost of Andy Rooney? Jesus Christ. Let's just hope these caterpillar eyebrows got weed whacked in the afterlife. My God.
In Zippy the what?
Zippy the... I lost my spot. Zippy the Pinhead and the fabulous Furry Freak Brothers.
Screw this guy.
Yeah.
In X-Men Apocalypse, Dr. Trask quotes a paper that says Homo sapiens killed off the Neanderthals, which may be true in part, or we simply outcompeted with them for resources, or there may have never been too many of them, and they became extinct through extensive interbreeding with Homo sapiens. If you do a DNA test, you'll discover, if you have any European DNA, that you have some Neanderthal genetic material, e.g. I am 3% Neanderthal. For so much DNA to survive for more than 20,000 to 30,000 years since Homo sapiens encountered them, there had to be a heck of a lot of interbreeding back then. 3% is about the same as you'd share with the second cousin, meaning a second cousin, i.e. last relatives in common would be great-grandparents. But back to the movie.
What? Boring.
This movie is one of the which the once virile and powerful hero is enfeebled, this is a misspelling, and his child is almost as powerful as he is in his common in his current state. I think this person has a lot of people walk away from him or her mid-sentence, especially when telling these anecdotes to a diner waitress.
He's somebody that starts sentence with actually
and irregardless, even though it's incorrect usage of it. It's a movie maybe I relate to more than others because of my age. It seems like that just yesterday I was 20 years old and kicking arse. Ah, we have a limey in our mix. But even though in my mind I'm still that young man, I can't control and do the things with my body as I used to, like Logan, Hugh Jackman, in this movie. My father-in-law, who was close to me like exactly like Professor X, played by Patrick Stewart, who brilliantly acted in this film, I watched him die in the hospital and buried him almost similarly, but not as brutal as his death in the movie.
Jesus.
That's crazy. Was this a
therapy session for this guy?
This is all Amazon 5-star reviews. Logan is the dude's rug for the X-Men. If you've seen The Big Lebowski, it's the rug that ties the whole room together. If you haven't, Logan is the consummate confrontation with what it is to be different. And this person who wrote their name is review his name. Are you ready? Donnie. So it was with great joy that I tell him, shut the fuck up, Donnie. By the Big Lebowski stinks. And we've done on this podcast, and it's a shit film, listeners.
I don't like it either.
Thank God we finally agree, Jimmy. Your hot
takes.
I have a question, though. Yes,
sir. I have a question for Kevin. Kevin, like, because do you like the classic Wolverine, the way he looks like on your t-shirt, better than how he evolved? Like, if you could have him look however you wanted him to look, how would you want him to look?
You know what? In a movie or in the comic books, or just in general?
Just in general, I think, or in both. Even.
I mean, I like the blue and yellow costume. I think it's kind of iconic, and it was really the way they should have gone. Obviously, X-Men. The problem with X-Men, the original X-Men movie, that it just established like everybody superheroes going to be wearing black leather,
right?
And then they did that for a while with superheroes. Like that's the fabric that it was. But this mask, and they tried, is almost impossible to recreate in three dimensions and make it look like something that would reasonably be worn. So now this costume is the best, but I think Wolverine's great without a costume. The whole costume thing is it's tough to say. Like for Batman, it's understandable, or for Superman because he needed, but for like a guy like Wolverine, it's tough to sell why he needed this costume.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
Amazon 1-star reviews.
Amazon 1-star reviews.
This is a movie that really suffers from hype. Too many viewers want to love it and tell you they do. I've been saving this movie for a quiet Saturday night savoring. To say I was disappointed when I finally sat down to watch this was an understatement. The bleakness and random gore was not what I was expecting, but simply the villains were childish and cliched. The young new hero was completely unlikable and more like a one-note blank slate, and the movie achieved the rank of trivial. It played more like a B movie.
This guy's never seen any other movies. That's my only conclusion.
This guy needs to get raped by a bunch of random warthogs. This film made my top 10 list of the worst films I have seen. I wish I could get a refund on the time I have wasted, really.
That's terrible. It's not that bad. I just didn't like it because of the story. But as far as a movie and like how it was shot and everything, it was shot very, it's done very well.
This guy has not seen Napoleon Dynamite, Kevin. I'm willing to bet that.
Nope. Or 2001 Space Odyssey.
I knew I was going to say that, but I went Napoleon Dynamite. How cute.
I've been in a couple movies that really sucked, so he should see those.
And they were both directed by John Waters, weren't they?
No, but I do know him.
You know him? Know him? Yeah.
I feel like Jimmy knows everybody.
Yeah, I do. Jimmy's going to be our ambassador whenever, if we, you know, whenever we do make it. Jimmy, let's go to a party. Oh, I know 15 people at this place. Next one. Summary. Bad people don't want talented children to cross a border. Signed, Rachel Maddow.
No.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know why movies on here are so expensive. Great movie, but go buy in store for the same price and have a hard copy that doesn't need to be downloaded. Signed, Mark from Consumer Reports.
Yeah.
That got me too.
I just can't. Who takes time to write that?
He's supporting big box stores with
this
guy.
I'm so upset about this $3.99. I need to write a review.
I want to have a hard cop. Oh, God. Excuse me, but X-Men is a fantasy comic for X-Men is a fantasy comic series for entertainment. This movie does not entertain. X-Men is kid stuff. This movie's not for kids. I watch X-Men movies when I want to watch kid stuff. Who is this movie for? Are you telling me that movie studios make superhero movies specifically for adults and adults go and watch them in the movie theaters? I thought adults only end up watching X-Men movies when they accompany their kids to the cinema. I wanted to see a kid's movie. If I wanted to watch something deep, I wouldn't watch X-Men. X-Men is a joke. It's a farce. It's in the same category as Donald Duck or Tom and Jerry, and that's fine. That's what it's for. You can't take it seriously. It's good for wasting your time when you've got absolutely nothing better to do. Would you want to watch a dramatic Donald Duck cartoon or a tragic Tom and Jerry movie? Wasn't that Tom and Jerry film a fucking tragedy amongst itself, Kevin?
The worst.
Shame on you for watching that. Tom and Jerry suck. Come on. Are you telling me people actually take these movies seriously? This is a faulty product.
That might have been my favorite review ever.
That was ridiculous.
No. The favorite review will always be the woman who gives her name, phone number, and email address and thinks Amazon's going to contact her for a refund. No one's topping her.
Fair.
That's ridiculous.
Kevin Israel, the Jimmy star, gut the sacred cow.
Jimmy, I've only known you for a little bit, and I already really like you. Unfortunately, you didn't.
Just don't agree with me.
The sacred cow. Well, no, you know what? I did agree with a lot of what you said. I agreed with your problems with the bleakness and with the. It wasn't a feel good movie, but I still
that's
think it's a great.
To me.
Right, but I still think it's a. I think it's a great movie. And so I don't think you got it, but you made a lot of great points, and it was great having you on. I hope
this is a cool show, though, you guys. Like, I actually think this is a very cool show, just in general, because you take all different kinds of movies based on. I went and looked at the other movies that you guys have done this with, and you picked, you know, all kinds of different kinds of movies. It's not just superhero movies. No. It's kind of like everything. And
we're doing Citizen Kane next. We do it all.
Great movie, Citizen Kane.
Well,
in my opinion,
find out.
You got to remember, I'm old, so like,
that old. You're making yourself out to be like
Jimmy.
90.
Jimmy, that came out before fucking Pearl Harbor was bombed. It came out the same year, just a few months before the fact. You're not that old, Jimmy.
So my husband used to have a show called Set the Record Straight, where he interviewed all the Hollywood legends, and like he was friends with Betty Davis and Elizabeth Taylor and all kinds of. you know, old stars. Actually, Jane Russell was his best friend. And so before I met him, I had never seen any of those movies. But we watch a lot of Turner Classic movies, and I see everything now. And Citizen Kane, for me, was a good movie. You'll see what you guys think and what whoever you're bringing on to gut it thinks.
When you listened to our episode, because you subscribed, didn't you? Didn't you?
Oh, I don't know if I did. What do I subscribe on? YouTube?
You could do. Listen, do it all. You could see us on YouTube. You can hear us on iTunes. I'm going to co-sign on that gutting. Yeah, Jimmy, this film is it's so beloved. It's so great. I enjoyed your points. I did. I, though, viciously disagree with your opinion of the early X-Men films were better than the new ones. No way. X-Men 1 is bad. X-Men 3 is a whale abortion.
X-Men 1 and 2 are my favorite of the two.
Well,
is the second one where they come in and try and steal all the little kids?
Yes. In fact, X-Men 2, X-Men 2
are
doing next week, as a matter of fact.
Task is coming back, right?
Yeah. That's my favorite one out of all the X-Men movies.
I think Days of Future Past blows away the other ones. Yeah, and I think First Class is fucking second best. The other two, the last two, stink. Apocalypse is terrible, and Dark Phoenix was a woolly mammoth abortion. But
Phoenix was terrible.
We did X-Men 1 on this podcast. In fact, the guests pick the films, as you know. And that's another film. That and Batman Returns are the two films, I think Kevin and I would agree, are the two films we're like, oh man, those films are fucking great. This guest has no chance. And guess what? We go, ooh, it is not as good as was when we saw it 20, 30 years ago. So, Jimmy, we would love to come on your show and hang out and talk to you, man. You're a fun, cool dude, man. I like you. Kevin's right.
You guys would love my husband. You guys, well, we'll bring you guys on. I'm booked for the next month, but once we get back from New York and get things going, we'll have you guys come on.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, man. You're a great dude. I could just tell from your vibe. You're a fun guy, and we'd love to hang out with you. And that's good. But thanks again for coming on. Jimmy, shout it out again. Where can we find you, and what are you up to?
Go to JimmyStarsWorld.com. You can find everything, all my social media. The Jimmy Star Show with Ron Russell is Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And follow me on all my social medias. It's Dr. Jimmy Star, DrJimmyStar. And look for lots of movies getting ready to come out, because I'm producing about 9 of them right now.
Excellent. I don't see a stethoscope or a lab coat on you. Where is that doctorate from?
It's actually, I do have a doctorate in a doctorate of education in social sciences, but I just, you know what? I started my things that way. And I've had my Twitter for 13 years. And like, once if you change it, you lose everybody. Yeah. So I just know.
Kevin Israel, how about you? What are you collecting and what are you up to?
Well, you can check me out at kevinisrael.com. Get my album, The Struggle is Real, on iTunes everywhere. I got shows coming back slowly, but surely. I'm up at Foxwoods Casino up in Connecticut every month, so check my calendar for that. And yeah, it's slowly coming back. But more importantly, like Kevin Gotee said, leave us a review, a 5-star review, and a quick 2 sentences. It really helps us. It means a lot. We like it, and the algorithm likes it. So do your part and share the love.
I mean, I couldn't have said any better, so I'll just say something else. Don't forget, we're on Clubhouse every Tuesday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And I think we're going to shoot for Thursday as well. If you're on Clubhouse, just follow Kevin Israel and I on Clubhouse. We do a room, the One Joke Workout. We invite our guests to work out a joke. We offer feedback if you want it, just to hang out and talk comedy and help craft your jokes. KevinGotee.com at Kevin Gotee. GTSC Podcast. And, of course, the shop, GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Like I said, articles. You name it. And that is that. Jimmy Star, again, you're a great dude. I'm so glad we're able to make this happen. And we thank you for coming on.
Good time, you guys. Thank you so much. Congratulations on your successes. Only looking for more for you guys. And we'll see you soon.
Awesome. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye, Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.